Hey, it's Tess Green, and this is We Are All Stories. Hey guys, today's episode is going to be a little different, so sadly the clip thing wasn't working for this episode, so we're just going to talk through it. Back in the day, like series one of We Are All Stories. So, a little different, just a heads up. The two episodes we're talking about today, it's a two-parter. So it's The Impossible Planet and The Saint Pit, directed by James Strong and written by Matt Jones. The original air dates are June 3rd and June 10th, 2006. These episodes are pretty great. The feeling I get from these episodes is it's more idea-based versus, I don't know, like the actual storyline. I find that the ideas that come from it in the thought-provoking manner that it is way more interesting than the actual storyline. So that is kind of what we're going to talk about. Just so you guys know, because we talk about what I want. Always. Always, always, always. So we're going to start with The Impossible Planet. Yes, so The Impossible Planet, the cold open, it's fantastic. So our cold open actually starts with Rose and the Doctor, and it hasn't done that in a while. Usually cold opens are, we meet the story we jump into, but this one we start with Rose and the Doctor, and I love it. That quote is so good. I love this quote. So Doctor says, "I don't know what's wrong with her, she's sort of queasy, indigestion, it's like she didn't want to land." Rose says to her face, "Oh, if you think there's going to be trouble, we could always go back inside and go somewhere else." And they look at each other and laugh. I love that moment. It is such a truth about Rose and the Doctor. They're, of course, going to forge on, even if it's a horrible situation. And I love how that they have that moment. It's great. I love Rose and the Doctor. In this episode, they're very close. And, yeah, I don't know. The bond that they have, I think from now on they just amp it up and it's great. I love that. Love it. Another interesting thing, because now we're moving away from talking about parts of it. We're just going to talk about whatever I want. The Ood is an interesting discussion. They're willing slaves. And that's a difficult thing to think about. It kind of goes against everything. They're a slave race. Like, that whole idea to me, I just don't like it. I like the Ood. They're pretty awesome. I don't like that they're slaves. Don't like it. Later on, we meet the Ood again with Donna, I believe. And that episode's a little bit better. It gives a little bit more history to the Ood, and I really enjoy that. I really enjoy learning about them and getting a little bit more background and their life outside of work. Yeah. I like the Ood. I don't want them to be slaves. I'm pro Ood. Pro. What? They called it something like, "Oh, she's one of those people who are against Ood slavery." She's like, "Yeah. Yeah, I am." One note, guys. I did not count this because I thought it was going to be tedious if I started counting it. But like the moment I was like, "Ooh, I should probably start counting it." Anyhow, I didn't want to, so I didn't. But in the first 15 minutes, I noticed it a lot. And I stopped paying attention a little bit after that to the actual amount of times it used. But they use hell and impossible. Those two words are littered throughout this episode. Littered. Like, what the hell? Like, that, or like, that's impossible. Like, both of those are used to an extreme. It's like, haha, I wonder if the writer was like, writers, that usually it's a team, I was like, I wonder how many times we can squish in these words, because I think it's cool. Also want to point out the awesome production design on this one, guys. Those cool kind of halls, and then like the lighting is all blue and yellow. And there's also like smoke, and it's very creepy and weird. I forget where they filmed it. I was watching the behind the scenes. And it said that They filmed it somewhere. Where did they film it? It doesn't say here. But yeah, the cool set design. Random fact, the scenes of them dying in space is filmed underwater. That happens quite a few times this episode. Anyhow, so awesome production, creepy music, really good. The idea of this episode, I feel like, is more prying onto, like, myths and legends and fear, and it's like kind of that feeling. So it gives you an interesting, like, almost shivers, like, it's like, oh, what are they gonna find, what is this about? And the end of the episodes when the doctor doesn't really find things out, like, he sort of gets his answers to solve the mystery of the moment, but he doesn't get his answers to solve the mystery of it all. And I like that. And I like how the doctor says, oh, I can't know everything, which is true. Very true, doctor. Very true. I actually love the moment of the doctor losing the TARDIS. It makes him stuck, and they have that moment where Rose talks to the doctor about them getting, how the doctor has to, like, get a home and all these things, and then get a mortgage. He's like, no, and it's all this cute moment, and she's like, well, you know, we could live together kind of thing, and, like, super shy about it. She's like, or not, like, whatever. It's super cute. It's, like, definitely, it's definitely more than a friendship, because if Donna suggests that to the doctor, he'd be like, yeah, let's be pals and be roommates. That's what he would think. That's what he would think if it was Donna who said that. But because it's Rose, it's almost like the beginning of a relationship when you're, like, scared to leave the toothbrush at the other person's house. Like, it's, like, that kind of moment where it's like, oh, like, maybe, am I going too fast? Like, oh, I'm gonna slow down. But, like, that. So, very cute. I love the Rose and Doctor moments in this episode. And they're not even together for a good portion of this episode. But they have so many good moments. Another note I made is this first, well, the whole thing kind of has a horror. The first one, especially, The Impossible Planet does, has a horror movie feeling. When Toby, creepy, sorry, lost train of thought. This has a horror movie feeling when Toby, he gets picked by the beast? Picked? Grabbed? Taken over? Or he's no longer himself? And he turns into, you know, Satan's host? That moment, it's like, don't turn around, that's scary. It's a scary moment. Why did he get picked? All those questions. I mean, he's a good, creepy guy. That actor, Will Thorpe, I don't know him in anything else. He's probably in a lot of other things I know. But he does a really good job at playing the innocent. Because he has a really good, like, sad baby eyes. Like, really good eyes. And then he's also really good at playing the creepy. So there's, like, a really good balance. It's a good actor who can play both in the same role. It's not even like you're changing roles. You're in the same character. So I do like that. Good job. Good job. Random fact, guys. Obviously, this is referencing the beast and hell and blah, blah, blah. And 666. And apparently, these two episodes were broadcast on either side of the week of June 6th, 2006, which is 666. I think that's all I have to talk about the first half of this episode. Okay, the second half is a little bit more interesting, with thoughts and ideas. Of course, usually in Doctor Who, the first half of the episode lays out the foundation, and you meet all the characters, and you learn about what's going on, and the problem. That's usually the first half. And then the second half is, like, the meaty, deep part, or, like, the action-y part, where, like, things happen. So this one's a little bit more interesting, so we get a little bit more of, discussion of ideas and thoughts. One of the big discussions is temptation. So the beast calls himself, I am the temptation. And you see the doctor be tempted and Ida be tempted to jump into the pit. And I love this thought of temptation and how it's basically everything down at the bottom, where the doctor is down in the pit, is about being tempted. They both want to jump in. Ida's like, what do you think? What should we do? I want to go, don't you? Kind of thing. And it's like, I don't want to go back up. They're not being as tempted as hard, because when you're closer to it, the more temptation, right? So it's interesting. I love that thought about temptation. which is such a truth. I also enjoy the description. Everyone gets their little description. You get the quote for that. Okay, the quote is, he goes through each person. So he looks at Zach, the captain, so scared of command, the soldier haunted by the eyes of his wife, the scientist still running from daddy, the boy who lied, the virgin, and the lost girl so far away from home, a valiant child who will die in battle so very soon. And I like that. It's like very, oh, you're picking at all our fears, right? And there's a line where the doctor says shortly after, the doctor answers, you want voices in the dark, then listen to mine. That thing is plays on basic fears, darkness, childhood, nightmares, all that stuff. And then Danny's like, that's how good devil works. And the doctor's like, we're a good psychologist. And the doctor kind of picks everybody else up. Like, these are humans, brilliant humans, human travels all the way across from space, flying in a tiny rocket right into the orbit of a black hole, just for the sake of discovery. That's amazing. Do you hear me? Amazing. All of you, captain, his officers, his elders, his juniors, his friends, all with one advantage. The beast is alone. We are not. If we use that, we can fight against him. So this just shows one of the doctor's main philosophies is that he believes in teamwork and being a group and working together. He also believes in being alone and working alone. But he knows that against an enemy, it works better to be together. Always. And I fully agree with that. And talking and working things out and reading books and that sort of stuff always wins over brute force. Your mind is better than your fists. Every time. And multiple minds together is better than multiple fists together, no matter what. So he's just saying, use your brain, use logic, use what you have to beat this, because they don't have that. The beast is alone. He's one, and he's trying to corrupt your mind. He's trying to brainwash you, but your mind is stronger and better, which is why he gets cut off, because the beast didn't like it. I love Rose, because she figured it out. And she said, no, guys, this is what the doctor said. That's why the beast cut him off, because he was making sense. He was going to get us to work together, so we were working together, and I'm in charge, and I'm the hero. Oh, Rose, always the hero. She's so good at that, and I love at the end when the doctor says, I believe in Rose, again, kind of referencing their relationship and how they're literally the cutest ever, but also referencing how they believe in each other and they trust each other. Rose was not going to leave that planet. Thank goodness she did, because the doctor didn't have time to pick her up if she didn't. But, you know, it shows their belief in each other and their faith in each other. Rose has learned from her journeys with the doctor that no matter what, he will come back. She's had times when she's not believed, and then he's come back and helped her and saved the world and blah, blah, blah. But, like, she knows, no matter how impossible it seems, no matter what happens, she'll be okay. Doctor will be okay. She knows that they'll see each other again, no matter what. That's the way it works. Rose and the Doctor. I love Rose and the Doctor. They're so good together. Ugh, so cute. I like how Rose learns about her death. So again, guys, like I said, Rose and death always seem to go together. Always. It's like her theme. If you had to pick a theme for Rose, it's death, which is very dark and depressing, because that's not really her characterization. She's not that dark and depressing. But anyways, it is her theme. She dies a lot and almost dies a lot. I think she dies a lot and almost dies a lot. That's pretty accurate in Doctor Who in these two seasons, and I kind of like that theme, because it's Rose. That's it. I have no idea where I'm going with that. But anyhow, I like this moment. She's like, what does it mean, Doctor? What does it mean? He's like, don't listen. But, like, he knows there's some truth in it. I can tell in his eyes. I like when the Doctor goes and talks to the Beast. And he's, like, the mind is the Beast is an idea. The devil is an idea, and that's the problem. I do kind of like that. The idea, the devil is an idea. And that's how it gets passed on. I love Rose's moment in the ship. when the Toby, possessed by the beast, says, I shall never die. The thought of me is forever in the bleeding hearts of men and their vanity, their obsessions and lust. Nothing shall ever destroy me, nothing. And Rose looks, says, go to hell. She shoots the window and he flies out. That's a good moment. It's a good, strong Rose moment. And I always love her good, strong Rose moments because she deserves it. Also, guys, at the end, when Rose and the Doctor have their little reunion, best moment ever in the episode. Because how cute was that? So cute. They're just adorable, those two. I don't know how they do it. They have such good chemistry. I love Rose and the Doctor. Guys, I'm so sorry. This episode's quite short. I think it's because I don't have the clips, and I think it's more of a discussion episode instead of me talking at you. So let's start with favorite things. So my favorite character this episode is Rose. I feel like she is portrayed so well and so intelligent and such a leader, which is Rose. They don't always portray her as a leader. Often the Doctor takes control, but I like this moment when Rose has her chance to shine, but still believes in the Doctor. Doctor's still there, but Rose is her own woman and is strong. My favorite moment is probably that hug between the Doctor and Rose. So cute. Love it. Least favorite moment? I don't like the look of the Beast. I mean, he's supposed to look grotesque. It's supposed to look grotesque. And it does. I just don't like it. Don't like it. It has like this one piece of skin, so its mouth can't open the whole way. It's gross. I kept staring at it this time. Grossed me out, but there's so many good things about this episode. Production value is definitely one, and even the Beast is well done, just gross looking. So I don't like it. That's it. That's my statement on that. Questions, guys. I could probably make 70 questions for this episode. So let's start with one. What are your feelings on the Ood and the slavery of the Ood? Do you feel like that's an issue? Do you feel like that's not an issue? If they're willing slaves, if they want to be slaves, it's their want. Is that okay? Does that make it okay? What are you guys' thoughts? Tell me about the Ood. Your thoughts on the Ood. Another question is Toby and the Beast. Do you think they made a good choice picking Toby to be the devil's host, I guess? What are your thoughts on that? Because he's a guy. Do you think it's sexist that they chose a guy? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know that I do. But it's a good discussion to have. They picked a guy. Would it have been better if it was a girl? He's also, I mean, there's a good multiculturalism in this episode, but still, he's a white guy. There was a black girl who died and had zero lines, or very little. So you can see how women are a little bit, maybe, less important in this episode? I don't know. Rose is very important, so it's hard to say that, but just a thought. What else? What do you guys feel about this whole discussion of it being Satan and death and thoughts? Like, Satan infects your thoughts and turned Toby into a host. And so, like, everyone could be a host. They passed on the Ood and all that stuff. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on the Beast? Well, I guess that's the same sort of question. Continuing last question. Do you think it's a good villain? I know that it is a very interesting villain and almost a sneaky villain because it's not actually a body. It's an idea. It's a like almost like a possession, which I find is so much creepier than an actual villain. Because when you don't really see the villain, it's creepier, right? When the sign of the villain is the red eyes, that one moment where Toby does the sign at the Ood in the tunnels. Not the tunnels, in the, I guess it's ventilation shafts. Where he's like, shh, don't tell him, and he has red eyes. That's creepy. Moments like that are creepy and really well done. You meet the Beast and you're like, okay, it's grotesque. It's scary, kind of, but not as scary as humans being possessed. There's something about that freaks me out. So that's creepy. Do you guys think that's creepy? Basically, I don't give you any choice. You just have to listen to my thoughts and say that it's creepy. What else? What are your feelings of... No, that's not a good question. We have those episodes, certain episodes of Doctor Who, where everybody lives, or, like, there's very low death count. This is a very high death count episode. Christopher Eccleston last series said, and everybody lives, just this once, everyone lives. Well, this is one where, like, everyone dies. It's almost like a Shakespearean tragedy where everyone is dead. There's three people and the Doctor and Rose, so five in total, and I don't know how many people they started with, and all the ood and all that stuff, so everyone dies, which is kind of depressing. What are you guys' thoughts about that? Kind of a depressing episode, but very entertaining. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the thought-provoking stuff, like the Doctor being put in a position where he has it, it's outside of his religion. But then he also states in there that that's why he travels, to be proved wrong, and I like that about him. I like how the Doctor admits that he's not right all the time. It's a good trait. Okay, guys, sorry about this being a bit short. But that's all I have. That's all I have to discuss, even though it was a really great episode. I can't talk about it that much. Let me know what you guys think on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, etc., etc., etc. I'd love to hear your thoughts, guys. You are the best. As per usual, you are my favorite listeners ever. If you can rate and review on iTunes, I would really appreciate it. Also, guys, if you go to my website, testgpodcast.com, and please fill out the Series 2 fan poll. I know we have a little bit of time, but I love to get it filled out. So if you can, I'd love to have... There's a spot to input your questions and thoughts and who's your favorite characters. Always a fun time to go on over that at the end of the series. Such a fun moment where we talk about our favorite things and our least favorite things. The next episode we have is... Love and Monsters, guys, and I love the soundtrack for Love and Monsters. Is that weird? They play, like, my favorite song. And it's such a good episode because it's so funny. It's so random. And because there's a competition and a little boy won for the villain used in that episode. Which is great. But yeah, I love it. Mr. Blue Sky by ELO is one of my favorite songs, so they play it and it makes me really happy. I love it for that reason. Don't love Absorbaloff as a character, but I love the rest of it, and I don't love the end. I like the majority of it, I just don't like the end of it. But yes, anyways, that episode, let me get my schedule out, because we were taking a nice little Christmas break. So that episode will run, or my podcast episode will run on January 8th, 2018. So we get a little bit of Christmas break so you guys can enjoy your holiday seasons. You can enjoy your holiday seasons because everyone has different holidays, and I love all and every holiday you can celebrate. I am happy about that. So enjoy your little time off. Spend time with your family, your friends, your pets, whoever you want, and then relax, and then we'll be back in January 8th for more Doctor Who. Yeah, if you want to know about the schedule, it's on my website, testgpodcast.com, and you can find everything there. Thanks, guys, so much. You are literally the best, as I said before. XOXO, ciao for now.